and you understand it in security, you need to be at least as good as the attacker or better, much better than the attacker. You need to have very good understanding of how the system really operates to properly secure it. And what we've done at Silos is actually getting to learn all those systems, to cooperate with industry players, with leading railway companies, to build a platform that will be able to protect all those types of systems, whether it's signaling, whether it's rolling stock, dispatching systems, and also the complementary OT system that you have in the rail environment.
Hey, I'm Dino Busalaki, the Chief Technology Officer and OT guy at Velta Technology.
Hi, I'm Jim, the COO and IT guy.
And I'm Craig Duckworth, President and CEO.
You're listening to the Industrial Cybersecurity Insider Show.
In each episode, we bring you the inside scoop on the world of industrial cybersecurity.
We talk about everything you don't know
that you should know. So plug in and power up. The show's about to get started.
Hi, my name is Dino Busalaki, and I'm the CTO and co-founder of Velta Technology. Welcome to this edition of Industrial Cybersecurity Insider. Today, we have Mickey Schiffman, who's also a co-founder and CTO for Silos. Silos is a unique OT IDS platform, and I'll let Mickey introduce himself and what Silos is. So welcome to the show, Mickey.
Thank you very much, Dino. It's a pleasure to be here. So nice to meet you all. I'm Mickey Schiffman. I'm CTO and co-founder of Silos. At Silos, our mission is to focus on rail cybersecurity and to make railways secure all around the world. Myself, I'm the CTO and co-founder of the company. My former background is cybersecurity, computer engineering, embedded systems, communications, and the combination of all the previous. And we founded Silos in 2017. And as I mentioned, we focus on securing railway systems, and the railway domain is quite complicated. It has lots of systems, lots of automation that has been introduced over the recent years. And I'll be happy to share more about it and what we do at Silos and the challenges of the railway space.
Yeah. And something that I think that's unique about Silos, you know, coming at it from that OT IDS perspective, is you're going after a specific vertical, which is something that we haven't really seen in this space yet. When Mickey and I met earlier this year at an S4 conference, and you were speaking about creating vertical specific OT IDS platforms, which I think has a lot of relevance depending on what that vertical is. And so can you explain, you know, how you got into the rail side of the business and why you think vertical specific OT IDS strategies are relevant?
Yeah, sure. So when we started Silos, so first, like, we looked at the railway world and we see trains all around us, whether it's a transit or in freight. Trains basically power our economy. They move people from place to place. They move goods from place to place. And without railways, without transit, I guess it would be much harder to kind of like do everything. I know people speak about autonomous cars and things like that, but like autonomous cars will eventually hit the bottleneck anyway, and transit is the only sustainable way to move passengers across cities. So when we looked at the railway space, we figured out something unique about it. We figured out it has an entirely specific ecosystem of companies and suppliers that manufacture railway systems. You have very specific equipment that is used in railway environments. And if we look at, let's say, the generic OT security companies, what we see is mainly companies that focus on, let's say, 15 verticals, and they provide one solution with the purpose to fit it all. But when you say fit it all, the question is, how good do you fit it? And within rail, what one thing that we realized is that when you look at the railway space, you see that over like 70% of the systems that are critical to rail operations, the, let's say, the OT systems that are just in rail, they're specific to the rail domain. They're built by specific vendors that sometimes only operate in the rail space, or the partners only operate in the rail space. They communicate in protocols that you can find only in the rail space. Sometimes they use operating systems that are used only in the rail space. And when you see the combination of all of those and you understand it in security, you need to be at least as good as the attacker or better, much better than the attacker. You need to have very good understanding of how the system really operates to properly secure it. And what we've done at Silos is actually getting to learn all those systems, to cooperate with industry players, with leading railway companies, to build a platform that will be able to protect all those types of systems, whether it's signaling, whether it's rolling stock, dispatching systems and also the complementary OT system that you have in the rail environment. But overall, if I summarize it, like the rail vertical is very unique because the systems are just unique systems that operate trains. They don't exist in any other industry.
Yeah, we took him from a manufacturing perspective. It's like you got to think globally, but you got to act locally. And we worked with a very large tier one rail here in the United States. And, you know, it's almost like the instead of plants, you think of the four walls of a plant, where in the rail industry, it's kind of the four walls of your country, right? Or your state or whatever that region is, because everything is external, so to speak. Let me ask you this in regards to cybersecurity, which we understand, one of the other focuses, at least from the manufacturing perspective that we get engaged with, has to do with process integrity, right? Safety. And so from a rail perspective, what have you seen in the Silas tools in platform, OTIDS platforms for the vertical in regards to that, like a PLC change that somebody makes in the rail industry, is that like a big deal or does it happen a lot? And are they tracking them maybe with some measure of change control, or is it a shoot from the hip change that somebody decided to make to a control system?
Yeah. So first, like our solution is called like Silas One. It's rail technology security platform, and it protects all, as I mentioned, all critical environments in the rail space. With regard to what you said, so safety, let's say the major constraint and the major concern of rail companies, that's kind of like granted by definition. So what we see a lot in the railway space is that companies really refrain from making changes to any operational systems, and they really do it only as they need. So usually the way it works is that you have a system and it gets certified, or they call it homologated for safety. And once the system receives safety certification, it's getting signed by sometimes by the government, by the way, like you sometimes get approval actually of the actual hash files of the software by the government in some places, in some countries, especially in Europe. Then the purpose is not really to touch it. Otherwise, you will violate something that is called the safety case of the system. And the safety case is basically all the set of assurances that exist for the system. So that's like the entire V cycle, V diagram, basically, that you have for the processes. One thing that we're seeing is that a lot of like those safety controls are not really, let's say, security controls. So there are actually some good comparisons you can also find online between security standards and framework to what you have existed in safety. And in safety, for example, we see commonly used like functions for integrity that are not really cryptographic or something similar to that. So they're trying to avoid components from sending a message that is invalid while at the same time they're not really validating it. So you can see, like, for example, one of the main Rayleigh protocol uses like MD4 function, hash function, and it's quite new actually, like the protocol itself, but the function that is supposed to check the integrity is actually quite, you know, like quite old, and that's a nice term for that. So what we're seeing a lot is that you don't have really security controls within the safety systems, but at the same time, it's very hard for operators to make any changes, whether those are changes for improving the functionality of the system, which typically you don't need because they're used for a system just run for 30 years and not necessarily being touched. But also, like, introducing your security controls is a pain from the same reason. Like, introducing security controls usually means like changing the software of a component. Changing the software component forces you basically go through, again, through the assurance process. And that's something that we typically see companies refrain from doing, and they try to avoid it at all costs. And that's why actually Silas One is non-intrusive, because being intrusive in this industry is something that typically will not be allowed.
But you brought up something interesting in regards to government, right? In the United States, obviously, there's some regulations they're trying to apply into critical infrastructure, which is where rail falls. In regards to just something as simple as asset inventory, right? And my experience and some of the work we've done, we found that to be very difficult to do in a manner that you'd like to see it to be done continuously, right? Versus just a snapshot in time, right? Because things change. I believe they change quite a bit in certain areas. Do you think the governments will get involved? And do you see the governments getting involved, not only continuing to drive, you know, those pillars of specifically asset inventory, continuous monitoring, and then vulnerability management at some point. But do you think that they would get involved with, do they track the PLC changes from a safety system, if it is a safety system? Is the government reviewing those, or at least wanting that black box log of changes to the control systems?
Is it really the question of expertise? So first, maybe I mentioned that companies try to avoid making changes in systems, but it's clear for us, especially as security practitioners, that it's impossible to assume that. It's impossible to assume that a system is closed or secure or not being touched, and no one's going to come with a maintenance laptop and do something malicious or so on. Of course, it's impossible. What we're seeing is that, so in the last, let's say, 3 years or so, CISA and the TSA, so the prime CISA supporting body, has been quite active in trying to regulate the rail space, the rail and transit space. And it started from a set of directives and became legislation and gets updated. And I think also, like, one of the things that we hear from rail operators in the US is that they're being audited by TSA and CISA. And of course, like, they're kind of like different levels of audits, and also depends on the level of the company. But what we're hearing is that they sometimes ask also hard questions about security controls and about the security implementation plans and all the things that are supposed to be. So in my opinion, we're going to get there. I'm not sure if we're there yet. I think there are some basics first to track before you kind of like get there, because many of the companies didn't really have sometimes even CISO in place or someone who's responsible for security coordinator, the way you call it. And monitoring is another point that, of course, companies need to introduce. And it's also one of the things that the regulation calls for. And I think that as monitoring gets better, they also understand how good looks like, and they will be able to compare different things like configurations or changes or security weaknesses that the architecture has by design sometimes. And then, of course, they apply the changes that are needed to kind of like improve over time, or at least like to be able to evaluate the risk in the system and mitigate as much as possible.
I'm going to touch back on something when you were talking about the OEMs earlier, you know, that are specific to the rail industry, their role, right? I come from the side of the track, if you will, in regards to OT's role in regards to these cybersecurity technologies and solutions that are specifically built and geared for their environment, compared to an IT group that doesn't deal with those assets in a daily manner, right? Which I think is relevant and important, you know, hands-on, think globally, act locally. OEMs, are they getting better as far as trying to bring solutions to the table for the rail industry, you know, where they're actually giving them some frameworks that they can use per se? Are you seeing that, Mickey?
So I can say they're getting better. They're for sure getting better. When we started the company in 2017 and we spoke to OEMs, most of them left at us, basically, kind of like thinking about security as a constraint on something that people will need or companies will need. But eventually, like, they kind of like understood that what they did in the past 20 years was basically introducing automated controls in places that they used to have mechanical controls or things like that. And there is, let's say, it's kind of like, think about it as a tax, maybe, when you consider like adding more software to your system. Like, you need to consider security. Otherwise, like, you're just doing one part of the job and you're not doing the rest. And I can say that I think that almost all of them, at least in the rail space, got much better than they used to be. So when I'm saying much better, I mean that they have more people. First, like, let's say they have people who are responsible for product security, which is fairly new. It doesn't necessarily mean that the existing system that they will have in the field will be all secure, because the life cycle of systems is like 30 years. But let's say that when they plan new systems, I think that most of them will aim to add security to it. But also, another thing is important to understand, at least in the OEMs in the rail industry. So this industry is kind of like, it's built on RFPs and tender, public tenders, basically, that kind of like companies, transit agencies, or like heavy rail operators, they issue to a set of OEMs, and they basically provide you like hundreds of thousands of pages of requirements to how they want you, the train to be built, or how, what requirements they have for the signaling system. And those requirements typically did not include any topic of security in them. And what we've been seeing in the recent years is that in almost all around the world, the OEM starting getting requirements for security. So it could be like as simple as like add security to your system, which doesn't necessarily mean much. It doesn't necessarily mean that the OEM will do something about it. But It can also be like quite detailed. So in some companies, we saw like 20 pages or 30 pages of security requirements on your systems, or like kind of like referring to other standards like IEC 64.3-3-3 or TS50701, which is the railway version of it, and the new stuff. And once they see it, and those OEMs usually operate globally, they understand they need to build this security practice in-house. And when I say security practice, it means that they have people who are responsible for it. They start like putting like vulnerability disclosure policies and things like that on their websites, and you can find it in most of the websites. And eventually it also comes down to like also building like more secure by design components. And I don't necessarily like this quote, like secure by design. Like I believe that you can add some security by design, but you cannot really like assume that something is secure when you deliver it forever. And it requires also like some secure operation and maintenance. And like, again, the security world is continuously evolving, but at least they're, you can say they're doing it. And some of them even go further than that and start to think about like adding security services to their portfolio, or even like managed security services. Like they're kind of like, they're playing all across. And I think we will see in a few years about like what's a successful strategy looks like, how successful strategy looks like, because we have a diversity of them. But overall, I can say that all the OEMs and almost all of the OEMs has improved in terms of security. But still, there is a constant tension between their role in the world of like supplying railway systems to the role of acting as the security guard of the railway system. And they also have this tension internally within the organizations, because on one hand, they want to basically sell more of those systems. On the other hand, they need to face sometimes hard questions by their customers about security. And I believe they're trying to balance them, but essentially, like I just hope it will all lead to more secure systems that will kind of like transport passengers and goods.
I think if you can, you know, tie it to safety and for instrumentation, when you think about, you know, all of the OEM and even asset owners are always after more data. Think of predictive maintenance, right? So I want thermal, I want harmonics, vibration, stress. I want all these data points to make these systems more reliable and safe. To me, when I think of what, from a cybersecurity perspective, it's the same message, right? I need more data in order to determine what's going on from a digital perspective around those control systems. You know, that narrative kind of fits together for most organizations. We can tie it to that. So when you think about an OT IDS platform specific to the rail industry like Silas and what you're doing, what's any different than that, than the stuff that I've got that's making sure that the tracks are sound and safe, that the engine is sound and safe, and I'm collecting instrument data off of that to know that my braking system is good, to know that the locomotive is running efficiently, to know that the axles aren't cracked or whatever. All the tools that they use to collect that information is relevant for operational safety, you know. But why wouldn't you think that from a digital standpoint, from a cybersecurity process integrity, that the data is not relevant either, right? Why wouldn't you want to get after it under the umbrella of digital transformation, right? Industry 4.0. And having that type of conversation, you know, with a client is always an interesting endeavor. Right? I don't know how you guys, when you bump into that, when you get pushback to your point, it's like, you're already doing all these other things. This is just additional data points that are relevant and required.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I can say that most of our customers, they use our platform for more than just security. They use it for configuration management. They use it to improve sometimes even their operations or investigate operational events. So they have, you can have plenty of use cases when you're focused on an industry. And it's also one of the points that I touched during my S4 talk. Like when you are building a platform which is tailored for a specific industry, you are forced to learn the business cases. You're forced to learn the constraints of the industry. And that's what we have done at Silos. And that actually is something that we offer to our customers. Like you can have the signaling people, the maintenance people, rolling stock people use the same platform as the security people. And for the security people, it's also easier to convince them. Like, of course, probably as any other OT industry, there are spread responsibilities. You have on one hand the IT people or security people, they aim to kind of like improve the security posture of an organization. And on the other side, at least in rail, you have the rail people, they just want to keep the trains moving, and so far they've been moving. So what do you want now? Like, and that's kind of like where the most of the debate is. So we find the use case to be much more compelling when you have both of those parties in the conversation, and you can speak to the rail people, explain them what has changed in the rail space since the time they started to operate the trains, as well as the security people, and kind of like show how our platform is more tailored to this industry and can provide much better results than any generic platform. And I think it's key. Like, you need to do both.
Yeah. Shifting gears for a second, I don't know if you mentioned insurance. So are the rails industry running up against issues getting cybersecurity insurance? Do they even get it? Do they try to get it? Are the premiums going up, you know, and policy or and coverage is going down? I'm just kind of curious on what you see from a cybersecurity insurance perspective in the rail industry.
Yeah, sure. What I'm seeing about insurance in the rail industry is just probably to insurance in general in cybersecurity. That's like kind of like initially it was kind of like a hot topic, and then the premiums started to go up because most of the companies have been attacked in a way, like at least by ransomware or something similar to that. And it's quite hard to evaluate the risk. So I think it's still like early to kind of define the right insurance policy for cybersecurity in the rail industry. And I'm not sure how is it like in other OT industries. I know that it's a topic that companies deal with and they're looking how to optimize on that because the premiums, of course, go up.
We have certain clients that they can't get it or they've been impacted. And so they've either lost it, premiums going up, coverage is going down. So we are, and some of those initiatives are driving them to start a path forward on their OT cybersecurity because of some of the insurance issues and risks that they're dealing with.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of like moves to more of a self-insurance approach because you understand that you need to put your own controls at least to kind of to improve your security posture if you cannot get what you want from your insurance provider. And I think also the exclusions around nation state doesn't necessarily help. Like, they don't necessarily help with the topic as well with the insurance companies. But I believe this topic will kind of like, it will stabilize at some point.
One final question. So if there's one piece of advice that you could give the rail industry today or OT asset owners, a piece of advice in regards to as a takeaway from this, what would it be?
Yeah, I think many people talk about awareness as an important topic. And I agree that awareness is an important topic. Like, you need to educate people around security. But in my opinion, at least in the segment that we are operating in, the segment of rail, you can't really do much without a lot of automation around your security because the systems are very big. Like, you have a lot of systems. You can have large rolling stock fleets or thousands or tens of thousands of miles of track. And the only sustainable way to kind of like achieve what you want from a security program is automated and have this the right level of visibility across all those topics. And I believe that that's also one of the best learning experiences because once you start automating things, you start seeing things in real life. And I really believe in active learning. I don't think that learning is necessarily just reading standards framework. You need to really touch the things in the field. You need to see something in your systems. And I really like call for like much more automation across all the security processes you have around your rail cybersecurity, around the OT security in rail. And I think it's a topic to kind of like to be more successful, as well as to be able to kind of like handle the fact that you're not necessarily going to have the largest force to work on security. You're going to have probably a smaller team, and you need to do as much as possible with whatever you have. And automation is key to that.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Mickey. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much, Lina. Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to the Industrial Cybersecurity Insider Podcast. To stay up to date with our latest episodes, be sure to click the follow or subscribe button now. And if you found this podcast helpful or have a topic you'd like us to cover, please leave us a review or let us know. If you're interested in learning more about Velta technology and how you can get safer sooner, visit veltatech.com. That's VeltaTech.com. Thanks again for listening. See you next time.